you are constantly seeking validation and approval from others and feeling inadequate without it, needing that validation, because deep down you know what you need to be doing, but you don't trust that part of you. And you are so focused on, I don't want to get it wrong. Am I living because I truly want to do these things, or am I doing it because I need that external validation from everyone else? Because I don't know how to live without having that external validation. But if you keep trying to disconnect and hide away from that part of you, you're going to try and run with like one leg. That's hard. Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Therapized. My name is Lalita, and I am going to be speaking to you today around self-worth. And for me, this is such a powerful topic because it's the core of everything that I am about. And what I mean by that is, when I'm working with individuals, when I'm speaking to individuals, that relationship that we hold with ourselves is the most important relationship that we have, because it determines the relationship that we have with everything else. And that's not just with people. It's also things like the relationship that we have with food, the relationship that we have with alcohol, the relationship that we hold with what we allow in our lives. So for me, it's so important to really deep dive and understand, what does self-worth mean for us? But also, how does it show up for us? Because self-worth, it comes from a place of how we determine our worth and what we feel worthy of. What is it that we feel deserving of? Because if we come from a place of, I don't feel like I'm good enough, which is all around, and connection with self-worth and feeling good enough is so powerful. Because if you don't feel worthy of yourself, if you don't feel worthy of who you are, it means that you're not going to take opportunities. You're not going to do things, because you're not going to put yourself in situations, because your subconscious is already telling you, I can't do that. I'm not capable. I'm not deserving. I'm not able. So all of these things keep coming in. And when we keep saying this to ourselves, there might be an opportunity just there, right in front of us. And we don't go and knock on that door because we are so afraid of opening that door and seeing a reflection of what we believe to be true. And the reflection of what we believe to be true is, I can't do it. I'm not capable. So guess what? That's going to have then an impact on how we, or the choices that we then make, the opportunities are all there in front of us. But if we don't believe it, if we don't see it, we're not going to take them. We're not going to take these opportunities. We're not going to be able to move forward in life in the ways that we want to, and we truly are able to, because we don't see it. And we know we want it, but we don't trust ourselves that we are able to move forward. So let's think about what a healthy sense of self-worth involves. And the first thing I would say is self-acceptance. It's embracing yourself and not criticizing, not telling yourself that I'm a bad person or I'm not deserving of this. It includes your strengths. It includes your weaknesses, self-acceptance. There may be parts of you that you don't like. But that doesn't mean that you criticize yourself, you judge yourself, you beat yourself up because of that. Because when you have that harsh self-judgment and that self-criticism, it can again hold you back, because it's like, yeah, you're this and you're this and you're this. But that self-judgment, that self-criticism, there's something living beneath that. There's something more going on there. And sometimes that's a journey in itself. And that can take you to a place of self-acceptance, which then opens up all these opportunities for you. And actually, it doesn't even open up the opportunities. The opportunities are already in front of you. It gives you the vision. It gives you the ability to see what's actually in front of you without having the blinkers on, because you're so afraid of what might happen. The second thing I would say is, having a healthy sense of self-worth involves self-respect. It's treating yourself with kindness. It's treating yourself with compassion, with dignity, and setting boundaries that honor your needs and your values. It's not just allowing anything in to your space, because the more you allow in, people learn to treat you in that way. And that's often the core of that comes from how you respect yourself. How is it that you honor how you really feel? Because you might think, oh, I need people, or I don't want to upset anyone. I don't want to do this. I don't want to hurt someone's feelings, because if I do, I'm a bad person. And that can keep you stuck, because then you keep allowing things, not just in friendships, but also you may notice it in romantic relationships. You may notice it at work as well. And this is all connected to where, or the root of a lot of self-respect side of things is the manifestation of people pleasing, of perfectionist. Because deep down, there's this part of us that doesn't respect who we are. So if you don't feel good enough, you're not going to respect yourself. If you don't feel good enough, you're not going to accept who you are in that moment, because you're going to keep giving yourself this self-criticism, this judgment, being really mean to yourself. But there's another way. There is another way. And that way is around you learning to love yourself, learning to honor what's important to you, learning to put in boundaries, learning to communicate what's important to you. Because you might be thinking, well, people don't treat me in this way. Yeah, but maybe people don't treat you in this way because you haven't told them that this is what's important to you. You haven't let them know that this is what you're looking for. So this is where communication is so powerful. The third thing I would say to have a healthy sense of self-worth involves self-confidence. And that's believing in your abilities, in trusting yourself to navigate any challenges or anything that comes your way. Because sometimes we're afraid of, I don't want to open the door and go out there, because if I do, what if I don't know how to deal with it? What if something is out there lurking? And what if this happens? And that's it. We have all these different what ifs, which again, keep us here, keep us stuck, keep us in this space. And ultimately, it's keeping us safe, isn't it? Because it means nothing bad can happen to us. But this is where self-confidence and self-trust is important, because no matter what happens in life, you trust yourself that you will get through it. This is where self-trust is so powerful. And maybe once upon a time that was taken away from you and you never learned to trust yourself because you were living outside in. But now is your chance. Now is your space to start trusting yourself. If you notice a feeling coming up, sit with that feeling. Learn to communicate what's happening within you. Because if you keep ignoring that and focusing on what other people say, you're looking for a new dress and you've gone and you've asked all your friends, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? What do you think of this? What about you? What do you think? What do you think about this dress? Because if you're so focused on what do other people think, why are you not trusting yourself and your decision? What do you like? And maybe once upon a time, you weren't able to focus on or think about what it was that you wanted to do because decisions were made for you or this was taken away from you. But now is your time. It's never too late. And these aren't skills that you cannot learn. You can learn these skills. The skills of trusting oneself, the skills of learning to become more confident in your abilities, in learning to sit with things that are coming up for you. But if we keep avoiding this shadow part of us, if we keep avoiding because we don't want to look at it, there's a resistance there with us and this side of us. What's that about? There's something more going on underneath that. And that's where it's important to try and make sense of what's happening there. The second thing, or the fourth thing I would talk about is to have a healthy sense of self-worth includes self-love. And sometimes people hear self-love and they're like, oh, but no, self-love isn't about that. Self-love is a deep sense of care, appreciation, compassion, respect, and acknowledging like what's important to you, what's important to you as a human being. Because how do you love someone else? You love them by perhaps doing things for them or giving them things that they may want, or listening to them, empathizing, and showing that you appreciate who they are. But you can do it for someone else, then you have the ability to do it for you. So self-love isn't about lighting candles or journaling. There's so much more. Yes, that's part of it. But there's so much more to self-love, which is you really caring for yourself. You have your own back, not waiting around for someone else to come in and have your back, because you have your back. And if you keep trying to wait and think someone else is going to come in and save you, no, that's you. It's you that needs to save you. And you need to see that, because otherwise the door is open and we're waiting for someone to come in to save us. but only you can see your worth. Only you can see what's going on. And the second part of this podcast, we're going to dive into what caused us to have this low self-worth. Where does that come from? Because this idea of I'm not lovable, I'm not deserving, that's the core of low self-worth, is the beliefs, these beliefs that limit us, that stop us from showing up in the way that we are able to show up. But something has happened where we've dimmed ourselves to stay dimmed down. But we now need to know, how do we light back up again? And that's what this is all about, is how do we light back up again without the fear, without the confusion, without the overwhelm of what am I going to do? What am I going to do? How do I do this? And the fifth thing I would add to having a healthy sense of self-worth is authenticity. It's you learning to live in alignment with your true values, your true desires, and your passions. And not going against what this person wants this or this person wants this, but you learning to really express yourself genuinely and authentically in the world. And maybe once upon a time, you weren't able to do that. You didn't have the voice that you perhaps wanted. You didn't have that because there was so much more going on, or because other people took that away from you. So your power was taken away. But that doesn't mean that you aren't able to get your power back right now. That just means that once upon a time, you learned that you had to just dim yourself down. You learned that it wasn't okay to show up in the way that you wanted to. But that doesn't mean that right now you can't light yourself back up again, because it's there. The light's already there. It's about you tapping in. You wouldn't be here right now listening to a podcast like this if you didn't believe that there's something more within you. And some of the signs of low self-esteem, and I wanted to purposely speak about this, because sometimes we don't realize we can get confused between confidence and self-worth. And self-worth comes from these beliefs that we hold of hold about ourselves. And we learn these from a very young age, which I'll go through in the second part of this podcast. But the first part, what I really want to focus on, is trying to understand, what are some of the signs? How do you know you may have low self-worth? What are some of the things that you might be doing in your everyday behaviors that might be showing up that cause you to have low self-worth, that cause you to not see what's in front of you and the opportunities that are all there? So what are these things? So number one, I would say, is negative self-talk. So how do you speak to yourself? If you're constantly criticizing yourself, if you're constantly focusing on your weaknesses, if you are doubting your abilities constantly, oh yeah, I'm not good at that, or I can't do that, or this is the, like, if that's you and you constantly have this negative self-talk, that could be a sign. And that can also be very draining for you, because you're constantly avoiding situations where potentially it's out of your comfort zone or it doesn't feel safe. So ultimately, there's something else going on that's serving this negative self-talk. And this negative self-talk might be playing out because it keeps you safe, but it kept you safe once upon a time, but it's no longer serving you in the way that it once did. Now you're ready to remove it, but there might be, well, how do I do that? And we look at that moving forward in the next part of this the podcast episode. Because for me, it's, yeah, let's become aware of what's going on here. But then we also need to understand, well, why? Why does it show up like this? And then we can move into, okay, how do I now move forward with this? So the second sign, social withdrawal. If you're avoiding social interactions, you don't really want to be around people, you isolate yourself, you constantly feel uncomfortable in social situations, that could also be a sign of low self-worth, because you just feel like, oh, there's too much going on. If you think of social situations, there's so much going on that you're feeling overwhelmed. And it's like, I don't want to even be in these settings. And if you are, you can notice yourself feeling quite quiet, not really giving eye contact, not wanting to look around, really struggling to make conversation with people. So all of these things might be coming up for you. And if you notice that and you think, oh, what are they thinking about me? And constantly having these thoughts of, I wonder what they think. I wonder what they think. I shouldn't have said that. Maybe I should do this. Maybe I should do that. And constantly living sort of like outside and in your head, that can also be a sign added to this social withdrawal. The third thing I would say is perfectionism. So if you're setting unrealistic high standards for yourself and feeling like a failure if you don't meet some of these standards, that might be a sign where you feel like, okay, I'm constantly striving and I'm putting all these high expectations. I'm never getting them. I'm never meeting these high standards I keep setting myself. It's because I'm a failure. It's because I'm not good enough. It's because I'm not worthy. It's almost like we're setting ourselves up a bit, isn't it? Where we say to ourselves, okay, I want to do this, or I'm going to do this, or I need to do this. You don't do it. And guess what? Guess what? You feel like a failure. So how are you helping yourself there? And do you even realize that these are very high standards that you're setting yourself? And again, where did you learn to set such standards? Where does this come from? So this sign that we're seeing of perfectionism, it goes deeper. And I've got another podcast episode focused on perfectionism, where we dive deep into where that comes from, how it shows up. Because it's important to try and understand, where is it that I learned to be this idea of perfect? Where does this come from? Because with that in mind, it gives you so much more awareness, but then also the understanding. And then you move into the conscious change. How do I now change this way of being? And the fourth sign is seeking approval. And this is a huge one. If you are constantly seeking validation and approval from others and feeling inadequate without it, needing that validation, asking them constantly, what do I do? What about this? What about this? Or what about this? Or what do you think of this? Or what do you think of this? And maybe not even taking their advice, because deep down, you know what you need to be doing. But you don't trust that part of you. And you are so focused on, I don't want to get it wrong. I do not want to get it wrong. That's like the core of it. Because if you get it wrong, that means you have to go and visit some of these beliefs that are lurking around. The beliefs of, see, not good enough. You're a failure. Look at this. Look at everyone else. Look at you. You're not good. You're bad. You are not clever, you are not able to do these things. So all of these things, you're avoiding this inner critic to come out. And you can understand why, because this inner critic isn't very nice, is it? So of course, you're going to try everything to try and avoid it. But if you keep trying to avoid that, it means then that you live in this idea of, I need this approval from everyone else. And you're constantly looking for approval from others. But when do you really tune into what's important to you? When do you really tune in to understand what is it that is important in your life and the decisions that you want to make? Not because someone else has told you to wear this dress. No. What do you feel comfortable in? What do you feel suits you? What do you feel is right for you? If you don't learn to make these choices and these decisions, you're constantly going to be needing people to make the choices and put the steps in front of you to be able to move forward. But you can see these steps. You just don't want to enter that criticism underneath all of that, because visiting those core beliefs and visiting that inner critic isn't a nice place to be. And maybe also you don't have the tools to be able to help you manage that inner critic. And that's something I speak about in my book, High Functioning Anxiety, which is so important to understand. How do I do this? Because that's often a big question clients will ask me. Well, a big question that they'll constantly ask me is, how? I get it. I understand. This is what's going on. I can see and I'm aware of this. I understand why it's there. But now, how do I change it? And I heard this question over and over again. It's one of the reasons why I put it into the book, because I know how important it is for people to need and want the tools, especially if their brain works in that way, is I just need to know how to get from A to B. How? What do I do? What's the next sort of steps there? And a big part of that is learning to trust yourself. And that comes with patience. And a big lesson there is patience. One of my biggest lessons has been patience. With everything, like even, for example, with running, when I got an injury, there's a frustration that comes up. But actually, you have to sit with that and you have to learn to listen to your body, listen to what's going on. And if you don't, you'll find a way, because behaviors have a way of showing themselves, coming up to surface level. So it is important to try and understand, okay, right, am I living because I truly want to do these things, or am I doing it because I need that external validation from everyone else, because I don't know how to live without having that external validation? Another sign is difficulty accepting compliments. So if you are someone who just dismisses compliments or you feel unworthy of praise, so someone might say to you, oh, look, I really like your dress that you're wearing today. We've got a dress theme going on in this podcast. So, yeah, I really like your dress today that you're wearing. And you're like, oh, yeah, this old thing. I got it ages ago. Or you might find it really uncomfortable and not know what to do. Or you might quickly change the subject and be like, yeah, yeah. So anyway, what did you do last night? You said you were going to have a busy day. Or you might quickly try and escape from the space because you're just like, oh, this is really uncomfortable. Introducing our exclusive newsletter, your weekly dose of inspiration, insights, and empowerment. Each week, we deliver curated content straight to your inbox. And this is designed to help you navigate life's challenges and thrive. Join our community of like-minded individuals who are committed to personal growth and self-discovery. Subscribe now to start your journey towards a happier, more fulfilling life. Don't miss out. So there's lots of different ways of sort of reacting back to someone complimenting you because you can't take it. But as soon as someone criticizes you or makes a point about even giving you feedback, that's it. Full on, we can become very defensive and we hold on to that. We hold on to that feedback, that criticism that we think it's a criticism and it's there. And it's like, why did they say that? And then the perfectionist part of you will come out and be like, right, how are we going to try and hide that or manage that or mask that? So next time people see us as being perfect and we're constantly trying to just adapt to be this perfect version based on the feedback that we're getting from others. But that's everyone else's feedback. And everyone has a different opinion of how they choose to be in the world. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's right or it's wrong for you. Now, another sign is fear of failure. And that's you avoiding challenges or any new experiences due to the fear of failure or making a mistake. And this is where I said, I don't want to get it wrong. If you are so focused on, I don't want to get it wrong. I'm afraid of getting it wrong. But why? What's living underneath that? What's living underneath, I don't want to get it wrong? And is that you avoiding challenges or these new experiences? Because if you do it wrong, that inner critic is going to come out. And again, we don't know how to deal or sit with this inner critic. So what ends up happening with that inner critic is we then just avoid it. It's easier to be the ostrich and put your head in the sand. If you put your head in the sand, it means nothing's going to happen. Nothing's happening around you. But guess what? It still is happening. Your head's just, you're just avoiding. Another analogy of that is the blinkers, the horse and the blinkers. If you've got these blinkers on your eyes and you're so focused on, I don't want to see what else is going on. And subconsciously, is that what's happening? Is it's trying to protect you, but is it really allowing you to grow in the way that you are capable of if you keep avoiding? It's almost like we have this shadow part of us. We don't want to look at that shadow because we're afraid. And sometimes we create this shadow being this monster in our heads, and it's not a monster. And often when clients start working with their shadow self, they'll say, oh, it's not as big as I thought it was, or I wish I had started this sooner. And that's something else I've put into my book is some of the key things that clients have said to me, because I think it's important that you acknowledge this shadow, this part of us that we keep trying to avoid, it's become bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger in our heads. And it's not as big as we think. And sometimes it's just having that support with someone or speaking it out to someone who gets it, who understands it. Because sometimes we can be trying to talk to other people about it. And if they don't get it, we can shut ourselves down slowly, be like, oh, okay, they don't get it. They don't understand it. Or I'm too much. Or these emotions or thoughts that are lurking around of shame, guilt, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, I'm a burden. All of these things might be going on underneath and we just try to avoid them as much as possible. So part of us might be thinking that actually I better not talk about this because last time I did try to talk about my emotions, I could see people's faces and I noticed that it was too much. So I'll just slowly put this to one side and pretend it's not there. But it will keep trying to come out in your behaviors. Another sign we move to is comparing yourself to others. Now, if you are someone who is constantly just comparing yourself to others and feeling inferior or inadequate as a result, and when I say comparing yourself, what I often see is people put other people on a pedestal and they put themselves all the way down here and they put everyone else up here on this pedestal, like, oh, look, they're like this and they're like this, but look at me. They're like this and they're like this and look at me. They're like this and look at me. But again, there might be a reason why you're doing that. Are you doing that because, again, it keeps you safe? Because if you put yourself up here and someone says something to you and then you have to bring yourself, well, why are you going to do that? Again, your brain is thinking of safety and protection. So if you keep yourself down here, I'll kick myself before someone else kicks me. Before someone else kicks me, guess what? I'll kick myself and I'll stay down here. But no one might even dare to want to kick you. But just in case, I'll stay here and listen to what I've just said, just in case. And this is where the overthinking can come from. And this takes us nicely to our next sign, is the overthinking. The overthinking that can come up where you're 10 steps ahead because you again want to try and protect yourself, but you might be assuming and thinking all these different scenarios of what if, what if, what if, what if, what if. And this is where self-esteem and self-worth is really closely connected to anxiety. Because when we start overthinking situations, we create all these different scenarios in our imagination. And now we start to feel anxious. We start to feel worried about all these things that might happen. But these things aren't things that are going to happen. They're things that our brain is thinking of. And it's thinking of the worst case scenario. Because again, it wants to protect us. It wants to keep us out of trouble, out of the space where we're going to get it wrong, where we've made a mistake. So your brain takes you to all the places that you can possibly make a mistake. But that's not the reality of the situation. And this takes us nicely to another sign, which is a lack of boundaries. So this is where you have a difficulty saying no or allowing others to mistreat or just take advantage of you. And this goes back to, what do you allow in? If you keep allowing these different things into your space, people get used to, they're allowed to do this. They're allowed to treat you in this way because you're allowing it. And you might be thinking, but I wouldn't do that to them. Why are they doing it to me? But people will treat you how you allow them to. People will treat you how you teach them to. So if you teach them, it's okay to, don't knock on the door, just come straight through. That's okay. That's what you're teaching people. People will keep coming in and not knocking on that door. And then you're sitting thinking, why did they not knock? But have you told them that that's not okay? And have you locked your door or have you left it open so they think it's okay? So this is where also communication is important when we think of low self-esteem. But sometimes we can get lost in not having that communication because we think they should know. They should know. But they are different to you. Maybe you are someone who picks up on signs and who doesn't treat people in that way, but not everyone is you. And that's also another hard lesson. And that's for another podcast episode. Another sign, I would say, is self-neglect. And that's neglecting your physical, your emotional, your mental well-being due to a lack of self-worth. So if someone says to you, look, I need you to come over, you might think, oh, yeah, I better go because they need me. And you might be exhausted, you might be tired, but you think, no, I better do this for them. I need to do this for them. This is where it can also lead to like low mood because you feel quite disconnected. You may not feel seen. You might feel like people don't really care for you, but people may not know how to care for you because you haven't shown them. And this isn't about blaming you. It's about helping you to understand, how does low self-esteem manifest in your life? How does it show up? Because if we are keeping ourselves in a space, and that's where we're vibrationally going to keep attracting people into this space. So if we are coming from a space of, I am not good enough, vibrationally, that's what we are going to keep attracting. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. And this is why when people go through therapy, they start to become more self-aware of themselves, their patterns. They start to understand, they start to change the way that they show up. And as soon as they start changing, they start looking at their relationships thinking, hang on, why is it that this person's treating me in this way? Why is this person treating me like this? Why is this person treating me like this? And that's because they realize they've been allowing something at this low frequency where I'm not good enough. And when they change their frequency everything else starts changing around them. But that frequency needs to, the core of that frequency is low self-worth. Because if we change the frequency to you feeling enough within yourself, and of course, there's going to be days where you don't feel enough. But that then doesn't mean that you're a bad person or that you start seeking the validation from everyone else and you are critical towards yourself. No, it means that you might be having a day where it's difficult, but you don't turn to negative self-talk. You don't turn to disconnecting yourself. Actually, you realize this is a day and it's difficult and you understand what's going on within you. But then you look at some of the tools to help you work through that rather than thinking, oh, I'm just going to go back to my old ways, because you're not. A caterpillar becomes a butterfly. A butterfly can never go back to being a caterpillar. It can go and sit down on the floor the way that it once did as a caterpillar, but it will never become a caterpillar. So sometimes people say, but I feel like I'm moving forwards, but then I go backwards. It's like you're never going backwards. You go and maybe sit in the same space that you once did as a caterpillar. But you have evolved. You're not that same person. You've now become aware that you're sitting on the floor. You're now aware that you're taking two steps back. That's growth. That's you developing in so many ways. Because, yeah, we do fall down. We do realize, oh, I've fallen down here. But that's where you have a choice. Do I stay and start thinking I'm a caterpillar here? Or do I start to realize, okay, my wings might need a bit of rest here? And then you allow yourself to fly back and maybe you need that rest. Maybe that's part of your lesson there. Maybe that's part of your journey there, is to understand, like, what is it that you need in that space? And this is the beauty of life and not being afraid of things that are coming up, but really trying to understand, okay, these things are happening around me. What is it? What's going on? What are the feelings coming up for me? How do I communicate with these things that are going on? Because that's where a lot of work happens, but also your growth. This is where your growth also will continue, because you start to realize what's important to you and how you want to continue changing that frequency. Otherwise, you get stuck in, but I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. And you are worth so much more than I'm not good enough. If you stay in that space, like I said, everything that you're going to be attracting in that space is, but I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. But you are enough. And when people, they start really working from this place of I am enough, the things that you're capable of, the things that you can then focus on, you're not scattered. You're not, I need to do a bit of this, or this person wants me here, or this person needs this. You get clarity of actually what's going on here. What's right for me. You get, and this shows up in like the work that you do with like your planning, your organizing, your day to day, the friends that you hang out with, all of these different things, they show up in that way. Now, I'm going to move on to talking about now the reasons we have low self-esteem. And one of the four things that I want to focus on is trying to understand what is it that causes us to have this low self-worth? And yes, I am going to go back to our early attachments to start with, because for me, it's trying to understand, okay, the early attachments that we had, this, maybe we had childhood experiences where we learned in that space that we weren't enough. And it's not to blame anyone. It's not to go back and blame our parents, but it's to understand, what did your child version go through? Because your child version would have gone through something that makes your child believe, I'm not worthy. I'm not deserving of love. I'm not good enough. People don't love me. People don't care for me. So there may have been things that have happened there. And sometimes people will say, like, but I had a really good childhood. Things were fine. But were they fine, or were you avoidant to the things that were going on? Were you disassociated? Were you disconnected? And this isn't about saying, oh, you went through trauma. No, this is saying, what happened? What happened in your early experiences that gave you a belief that you focused on, that you are still focusing on, that tells you, that screams at you, that you are not enough? So when we go backwards, our answers are, a lot of our answers, they start from the beginning. And is this where you perhaps experienced criticism? And it may have not been criticism all the time from your parents, from your teachers, from your siblings, but it may have been there and we've held on to the criticisms. Is it that we have felt rejection? We've felt neglect, emotional neglect. Is it that we have felt that we felt lonely? We felt disconnected. We didn't feel loved. We didn't feel nurtured. What went on in our early experiences? Because that can deeply impact our self-worth. And these experiences, they may include harsh parenting, bullying, trauma, and all of this can lead to internalized beliefs of unworthiness, of inadequacy, that there's something wrong with me. So you have this deep, deep belief that there's something wrong with me. But with that comes shame. There's something wrong with me. And then we try and hide that part, thinking, okay, if I hide this part of me that I think there's something wrong with me, then no one else will see it and I'm okay. And this is where the perfectionist comes out. It's like, pretend everything's fine. Everything's okay. No one else can see it. And then someone might say something about this part of you. Someone might notice it or bring it up and instantly it's like, oh, they've seen it. They've seen it. Alert is on. Anxiety is out. Feels like you've been found out, but actually this is a battle between you and yourself and what you believe is worthy and not. And that's where the real work happens. And this is why I say the how-to is really important. And as I mentioned, I share this in my book, In High Functioning Anxiety, because I just think it's such an important part of growing and of moving forward. It's trying to understand, okay, how do I now, I understand that my early childhood, I learned these beliefs, I understand how they show up in everyday life, but now what do I do? And we'll get to that. So next part of like just understanding like the experiences that you went through, it may have been a few events that have happened. So there may be very key events. And one of the things I do when I work with clients is I start off by doing a deep dive of understanding what have they actually been through in life? What has gone on for them? Because did you learn to be hyper independent? So you're so focused on like, okay, I need to get this done. I need to get this done. And you show up as being very high functioning. But underneath that, you might be feeling this low self-worth that no one really sees. But where did you learn to, again, disconnect that there's this part of you that's driven by this low self-worth, but you show up as being, I'm capable, I've got this together, I'm okay, I can do this. But no one really sees this underneath bit that's going on here. People might see you as successful. People might see you as you've got it together. People might see you as you have, you've got it. You're organized, you've got things together, you're showing up every day, you're social, you've got a good network. People think that about you. So you continue living in that way, thinking everyone sees you, but actually you're disconnected from yourself. So that's really important to try and understand and make sense of. But we go back to the just you understanding more about how your childhood does impact on how disconnected you feel as an adult, how it connects to your perfectionism as an adult, how it connects to your people pleasing as an adult, how it connects to you being someone who may lack boundaries as an adult. All of these are connected. And it, like I said, it may start from childhood, but we've nurtured it and nurtured it and nurtured it. And this belief has got stronger and stronger and stronger, but we've also learned to mask it. So people outside, they may not always be able to see that deep down, you don't feel enough. Deep down, you don't feel deserving. But it will show up in your relationships. If your friends, for example, you see them and a few of them have gone out and they've put something on social media, you might be thinking and looking at your phone thinking, what about me? They didn't ask me. But you'll never say it to them, but you'll be thinking it. And then as a result of that, next time you're with them, you might be trying overly hard to try and fit in, to try and be better. But there was nothing ever wrong with you. But you felt that they didn't ask me. And this is where sometimes this is where communication is. And this is the next part of growing and learning to use your voice, to being authentic, to communicate what's going on. Because people will listen. The right people will listen and understand and want to make this change. But if we're constantly using things that we're seeing in our friends, in our family, in our romantic partners, in our workplace, and we're getting feedback that we're not enough. We get caught in this loop of I'm not enough, I'm not enough, I'm not enough. And if you get caught in that loop of I'm not enough, that's where you get stuck. And you continue through life, 10 years go by, another 10 years go by, another 10 years go by, and you look back at life and you think, what have I been doing? I've allowed so much. I've been the empath, being the caregiver, being the one who's been there for everyone else, being giving and giving and giving. But what about me? And you'll get to a point where you hit that brick wall and you think, what am I doing? I want to change myself, because you don't feel that purpose, that contentment, that joy, and you're fed up of this temporary short-term fix. You're wanting something more. But it goes back to, I don't know how to. So often we stay stuck in patterns because we don't know how to get out of them. And that's why I was so passionate about writing my book, because for me, high functioning anxiety is all about giving you the tools. It's a guide. It gives you the tools to help you manage what's going on within. Because for me, for years, I didn't know how to. And I was lucky enough to find a path that allowed me on this journey. But otherwise, I would sit there and I'd be overthinking and I'd be worried about what people would be thinking. And you get stuck, you get stuck, you get stuck. But when you know how to get out of it, you're free. And that's the feeling that I want everyone else to feel. Because for me, being able to come out of that space and that heaviness and the dark place that you can find yourself in, into a space where you feel enough as you are. You don't crumble at someone saying something to you, because you know how to stand in your power, because you're not giving your power away to someone. You learn what power is. You learn what energy is. You learn and you deep dive and you go deeper and deeper into yourself and make sense of all these different things that are going on. And that is growth, and it's beautiful growth. And I see it in clients over and over again when they come back and they tell me, I've done this and I've done this. And it just touches my heart, because I'm like, yes, yes. Because we all have the power to speak our truth. We all have the power to step into our power. And for years, I've been on this edge. Been on the edge, and I'm like, I want to jump, but something within me doesn't let me. And it's the belief of, I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not deserving. But like I said, when we step into that and you learn to just be who you are, everything, all the relationships around you will change. But that change needs to come from within. And that's why I'm so passionate about the work that I do, because I know the changes that can happen when you're invested in wanting to change and wanting to understand. And sometimes we stay stuck because we're not ready. But we may not be ready because we don't have the right path in front of us and we don't have the right tools to help us get out of this. But like I said, you wouldn't be here right now watching or listening to this if you didn't feel ready. And I would encourage you to journal, to think about, hang on, what are some of the things that I would like to do to help me get out of this? And it's part of this episode, which I will cover that. So another deep-rooted part of low self-worth also comes from how we constantly compare ourselves to others. So we might have these deeper beliefs of I'm not worthy, but then we look at everyone else and we think, oh, this person has this, this person has this, this person has this. Look at that person. They look like this. They're in this relationship. They have this family. They are like this. They're on this holiday. Oh, when does it end? When does it end? Like this comparison. And often we are looking, it's like being on the road and looking out for just a yellow car. You are just going to notice the yellow cars. You're going to miss out on the other cars. And that's what you're doing here, is you're looking for others to be better than you. So if you keep looking at others to be better than you, guess what? You're going to see it. And that just fuels your feelings of inadequacy, low self-worth, unrealistic standards that are set by society, social media. They can exacerbate these feelings as well, leading you to feel very low within yourself, keeping yourself dimmed and dimmed and dimmed. And it's like, I don't want to be seen. I just don't want people to know that I'm here. But you're not here to live in that way. And I will say that again, you're not here to live in that way. No, you are here to shine. But you need to know, how do I shine without feeling bad that I'm shining? Without the inner critic screaming out, like, who the hell do you think you are shining like that? You have every right to shine. You are deserving of it. And that's part of like the growth journey, is learning to manage that inner critic. Because that's the avoidance. We're wanting to avoid the inner critic, because the inner critic brings up feelings of rejection, abandonment over and over again. Every time the presence of this harsh inner critic is there, it's just there screaming at you with these internalized negative messages that just make you feel worthless, make you doubt yourself, make you hear this inner critic that's just screaming out, and it just reinforces all these negative beliefs that you have of yourself. And in the end, what does it do? It just stops you from growing, keeps you in this space. But we see this critical inner voice as a negative. And sometimes we can say, I just want it to go. But is the inner critic really a bad part of you? Or is it a part of you that has been formed to keep you safe? And what do I mean by that? I mean that maybe once upon a time you needed that inner critic to help you get to a space by staying safe. So if you weren't shining bright, it meant that you're not going to be in anyone's view. It means that you're not going to be seen by others. It keeps you quite hidden. It keeps you minimal. So if you stay minimal, it's less likely that people are going to see you. People are going to say anything to you. But this is where self-trust comes in. And this is where stepping into your power comes in, because this is where change happens. But change happens from that relationship that you hold with yourself. And when we think of relationships as well, and as I mentioned earlier about the growth of relationships, when you start learning that you are enough as you are, you start noticing that the relationships that you are forming, they're more meaningful. They are more respectful towards you. They aren't characterized by things like criticism or manipulation or emotional abuse, which just keep eroding your self-worth over time. In fact, what you're wanting and what you're seeking is more of the meaning in relationships. But this also doesn't just pivot your romantic relationships. It also pivots the relationship that you might have with money. And this is a really key one, because when we think of the relationship with money, sometimes we're stuck in that. We are dimmed down. So this stops us from being able to get to a place where we know we are deserving of so much more. And I often see this in people in business, in entrepreneurs, where they know they are capable. They've got this amazing idea. They've got this plan in front of them. They know what they're going to do. But guess what? Their relationship with themselves, where they feel like they're not deserving, that projects into their relationship with money, where they feel like, I'm not deserving of that. I shouldn't be charging people that. I shouldn't be doing this. I can't possibly create a business like that. I don't know how to handle and manage people. So guess what? You're going to stay in this space. You're not going to grow. And that's one of the biggest reasons why people's businesses do not become successful. It's because they don't allow themselves to step into what they are deserving of. Instead, they stay in this space where they think that they're safe. And yeah, it's great to be in this space. But is it really great for your future self, or the part or the version of you that you want to get to? And this is where we take that leap of faith and learn to start trusting ourselves. And learn to step into the uncomfortableness that comes out. Because if we keep trying to chase this idea, or not chase, but attracting this idea of I'm not enough, that's what you're going to keep getting. And that happens in business as well. It happens in the business opportunities that come your way. Remember I said at the beginning, opportunities are always there. But if you don't see these opportunities, and instead you stay safe with the blinkers on, because you don't want to go into these opportunities. What will people think? Or I'm not deserving of it. I'm not worthy of it. And this is where we talk about sabotage, because we say, actually, there's things in front of you. What's stopping you from doing these things? And sometimes it's beliefs, these subconscious beliefs that are there. And that's why tapping into these beliefs, understanding where they come from, learning how to move forward from them, they don't just change your relationship with yourself and how you show up. It shows up in all aspects of life. And I've seen this with clients. I've seen how they have gone from being dysregulated, being scattered, being like, oh, I need this, or I need this, or holding on to business opportunities because they think that they need to. But actually, when they let go of these business opportunities, it creates that space for new things to come forward. But it's that leap of faith, that self-trust, that is so important in this journey. And when you start flourishing and you start seeing these results, you just thank yourself for taking that leap of faith. And yeah, it can be difficult if you haven't done it, but it's where change happens. It's where your life and you make decisions and you are able to step into a space that's uncomfortable. But if you're a driver, the first time you sat in the driving seat, wasn't that uncomfortable? Think of the first time you did anything. It can feel uncomfortable. And yeah, we're not always good at it. And also, if we think of things that come from making our own choices, we have to deal with something that might be wrong. If we make a mistake, we've done something wrong. If anything, we've done something wrong. So we're always focused on, we've done something wrong. So we're going to avoid that. And that also comes up in the business world is, I don't want to upset anyone. I don't want to put a boundary in. I don't want to say no to someone. So I'll just stay here. So this is all happening at a subconscious level. And as I said, you can move past this because it's important to recognize that, yeah, all these factors are interconnected, but they vary from person to person. But addressing this low self-worth, it does require self-reflection. It does require challenging your negative beliefs. It does require maybe seeking that professional support. It does require practicing self-compassion. It does require you self-caring and learning how to regulate your emotions. That's the core of all of this, is how do you regulate yourself, your inner critic? How do you not keep avoiding it, but you show up for your inner critic and you mention, hang on 1 minute, what is this? What does this inner critic want from me? How do I show up? Offering compassion, because now I'm understanding what this inner critic is all about. I'm realizing what this inner critic wants from me. I now know how to navigate this. That is huge. Because when you learn to do that, you change everything. You're showing up for yourself in a different way. But if you keep trying to disconnect and hide away from that part of you, you're going to try and run with like one leg. That's hard. It's hard to run with one leg, isn't it? And that's what you're trying to do in life. But to run with two legs, being authentic, you need to tune into that other leg. You need to know what that other leg's about and feel into it rather than ignoring and pretending it's not there, because you have two legs and you need to follow that and learn to run with these two legs together rather than continuing through life with just one leg, because you don't need to do that. So working with someone, self-reflection, that can be very beneficial. Even just like noticing, and this is what I say to clients when I first start working with them, is just start noticing. Noticing things that are uncomfortable and noticing and starting to make a note of the things that you're avoiding. Because if you're avoiding something, there's something living there. And what do I mean by that? I mean that underneath you avoiding something, something is going on. So if you're avoiding picking up the phone and talking to people because you don't know how to hold a conversation, or you're afraid of closing a deal, what's that about? What's going on there? If you don't want to pick up the phone to someone because you're avoiding, because you know that they're going to persuade you in a certain way, or they're going to criticize you, or they're going to say something about your business or about you as a person, you're going to avoid that. And then you're going to overcompensate, and then you're going to people please, and then you're going to be a perfectionist, and then you're going to get caught in this cycle again. But you don't want to do that. You want to understand, okay, what am I avoiding here? What's coming up for me? What is it that is making me feel like I don't want to pick this up? I don't want to pick up this phone call. What is it that's coming up there? Because when you start questioning and reflecting on that, it gives you insight into what's happening. Because I often, and this is another thing I hear a lot, is people will say, oh, I really want to do that. I really want to do that. And I'll say to them, like, what's stopping you from doing it? And they might say, oh, I haven't got the money, or I haven't got this, or I can't do this. And often the root of that is, yeah, it's low self-worth. And there'll be other factors as well, which is maybe they don't have the tools. They don't have a plan or what the clarity of what this looks like. So instead, what they end up doing is they stay focused on, oh, I better do it this way, or I'm not going to do it that way, or I'm just not going to take the opportunity, or, oh, it's easy for you because you've got this, 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 and I can't do it. So again, what do? We stay safe. We make excuses, because if we don't have to then think about it, we stay here. But if we don't have a plan, it's harder, isn't it? We feel we're scattered because there's so many things going on, and we're here, and then someone calls us, can you go and do this? We're over there now. We're like this headless chicken. Go, doing things for everyone else. And not really having a plan, and then thinking, why is nothing happening for me? But nothing's happening for you because you're busy running around for everyone else. And this is where I say it's time. And if not now, when? When are you going to start working on yourself if you don't start right now? So the key things that I would say to you is self-reflect. When your negative this inner critic comes up, listen to this inner critic. Don't run away from it. Learn to listen to it. Listen to what it's saying. And then we can start challenging it by looking at, okay, I'm hearing what this inner critic is saying. I'm listening to what it's saying, but what's living underneath that? Is there a part of you, the inner critic, that's screaming out? Because that's a learned way that we have heard from our parents growing up. Is this inner critic screaming out? Because actually deep down, there's a fear that's showing up. There's a fear that's lurking around saying that I'm afraid of getting it wrong. Is that really what this negative inner critic is all about? And this is why I say invest in yourself. Often people are so afraid of going into a setting of therapy and of coaching because they think, oh, there's nothing wrong with me. I don't want to go into a space like that. But when you come into a space like therapy or like coaching, you start looking at patterns. It's a spotlight on you. And yeah, it can feel scary, but give it a go. What's the worst that can happen? Everything's confidential anyway. So even if you go in and you don't like it, you don't have to go back. But you've given it a go. You've understood that there is a way. There's another way forward rather than you having to live not liking who you are. Imagine that. Imagine being in a relationship with someone and you don't like them, but you're in this relationship pretending to go through life because you think I'm stuck with them. I better just continue. And maybe that is like a reality for some people, but we're talking about you here and the relationship that you have with yourself. You are living life with low self-worth, not liking who you are, and continuing life thinking that you're not worthy, you're not deserving, you're not good enough, and you're at this vibrational frequency that is attracting all of that into your space. And this is where you need to break free from that to be able to realize you are deserving. You're deserving of love. You're deserving of care. You're deserving of respect. You are deserving. You are worthy. Because as soon as you start changing these beliefs, trust me, you start seeing the opportunities that are already there around you. So on self-esteem and self-worth, what I want to say is there is a difference as well between self-esteem and confidence. And that's something we'll go into in another episode. But for now, I just want you to take something away from this. And that is that there's not too much of self-reflection that you can do. Because when we're reflecting on ourselves and our patterns and even interactions, every day there's a chance for us to grow. Every day we're interacting with people and there's always ways for us to grow and to show up. So what I would encourage you to do is learn to really step into self-reflection. Learn to really understand, okay, what's coming up for me? If I'm noticing that there's I don't know, I might have a situation. I've gone to a coffee shop, I've ordered something. What's come up for me? I may have gone into a store and I'm in this store and I had an appointment and the appointment hasn't happened and I'm waiting here in a queue, but no one's serving me. Like, why are you not going out? Why? What's coming up for you? Are you feeling that, oh, I better just stay here, I'm not deserving? Do you feel like you're not worthy? Like, what? Start to listen to what's going on underneath. I think that's where the key is for a lot of this, is you learning to listen to what's really going on. And that's why they say silence is so powerful, because we learn so much in silence. And if we struggle to sit in silence, that might also be stuff that might be going on for us, because we are worried about being in our own thoughts. Like, come on. We have this one life, and it's about learning to love, be compassionate, respect yourself before anything else. What do they say on the airplane? They say when you're watching the air hostesses, they talk to you and they say, this is the oxygen mask. Make sure you put it on yourself. And even if you've got children, put it on yourself first, and then you focus on your children. And that's all about the self-care. It's like, you need to look after yourself in order then to give to others. But if you keep giving to others, you're going to have nothing left in there to give to yourself. And maybe you don't know how to, but we need to start learning how to. And that's the how to. As I said, it's in my book, something I share a lot about. And if you want to know anything else, we can always create another episode on self-worth, on confidence, on anything else. So any questions, please feel free, get in contact with me. I would really appreciate it if you are able to subscribe. It makes a big difference to me. And I'm very, very thankful. And I can see everyone who's always watching these videos, and I'm very thankful from the bottom of my heart. And I want the best for you. I want you to grow. I want you to be this butterfly and embrace the wings that you have and be this beautiful person that you're meant to be. I will speak to you in the next episode. I've got a very beautiful guest that was going to be joining us. And I look forward to sharing that with you. Be the butterfly that you're meant to. For now, over and out. Take care. Bye-bye.
Hey there. Are you ready to take your personal growth journey to the next level? I'm really excited to announce that my new online course is finally here. And in this course, we deep dive into topics we explore on this podcast, but with even more in-depth lessons, practical exercises, and personalized guidance. Don't miss out on this opportunity to invest in yourself and unlock your full potential. Enroll now and join me on this life-changing journey.